Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. It's been way too long since I was with you. I intended on doing better. I really did, but so much for good intentions. Today is Tuesday, April the 23rd, 2019. This is episode 5026. The going up was worth the coming down. You ready for some lyrics? I'd love to play the song. It's a great song. It's by Kris Kristofferson. The name of the song is The Pilgrim, Chapter 33. It appeared on his second album, released in 1971, entitled The Silver-Tongued Devil and I. The man can write. The song has got so many great lines. It's tough to single in on any single one of them, but you know me. Few things captivate me like a great lyric, and this song could supply, who knows how many episodes this song could supply. Here are the lyrics. See him wasted on the sidewalk in his jacket and his jeans, wearing yesterday's misfortunes like a smile. Once he had a future full of money, love, and dreams, which he spent like they was going out of style. And he keeps right on, a changing for the better or the worse, searching for a shrine he's never found. Never knowing if believing is a blessing or a curse, or if the going up was worth the coming down. He's a poet, he's a picker, he's a prophet, he's a pusher, he's a pilgrim and a preacher, and a problem when he's stoned. He's a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction, taking every wrong direction on his lonely way back home. He has tasted good and evil in your bedrooms and your bars, and he's traded in tomorrow for today. Running from his devils, Lord, and reaching for the stars, and losing all he's loved along the way. But if this world keeps right on turning for the better or the worse, and all he ever gets is older and around, from the rocking of the cradle to the rolling of the hearse, the going up was worth the coming down. He's a poet, he's a picker, he's a prophet, he's a pusher, he's a pilgrim and a preacher, and a problem when he's stoned. He's a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction, taking every wrong direction on his lonely way back home. Told you. I mean, a dozen episodes. Half a dozen episodes for sure. I'm going to put a link. Actually, I'm going to embed the video. I'm going to embed the video of Mr. Kristofferson singing that song entitled The Pilgrim, Chapter 33. Many people have experienced it, both the going up and the coming down. Sometimes I get on a biography roll, reading them, watching them on TV. And I don't know, it was a week or so ago while I was doing some writing and some other computer work, and I decided to stay tuned to the NFL Network, and I watched a series of episodes of A Football Life. Now, it featured coaches, Mike Ditka, Mike Holmgren, Marty Schottenheimer, Don Shula, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Cowher. I watched a lot of them in a row. I was doing other stuff. It was a nice biography marathon. Great football coaches. Different, each and every one of them. Some of them won more than others. Mike Ditka, perhaps the fiercest of them all, he is certainly the biggest bull in the china closet, he used Kristofferson's line at the end of his episode by simply saying the going up was worth the coming down. I was in my early teens when I first heard Kristofferson. We mostly knew him for the song that was made famous by Janis Joplin, Me and Bobby McGee. He was flying helicopters in southern Louisiana for an offshore oil company when he wrote that song. For some reason, I remember that. I likely read it in Rolling Stone, and I likely remember it because, well, I was living in Louisiana at the time. Even as a kid, I was a sucker for a good line, and Kristofferson could write great lines. Not surprising. I mean, come on. The guy's a smart, smart guy. He was a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford, proficient in the English language. I mean, he's got two of the three skills I most admire, language and music. Well, he may have the third one for all I know, art, specifically cartooning. That's the third for me. I don't know. Maybe Chris is a great closet cartoonist. Wouldn't that be something? Going up, coming down. Well, of course, going up is worth coming down, assuming that you survive the coming down. Velocity will determine that. If you come down fast enough, you will hit hard enough, and it'll kill you. Worth it? Yeah, well, I don't know. It depends on how high you went how old you are when you come down, I guess. Ideally, if you go very high and you stay there for years and toward the end of your natural life, say, I don't know, somewhere around 100, you crash and burn. Yeah, totally worth it. But if you go up a stepladder height and you're not yet a teenager, but you fall and you hit your head and you kill yourself, or worse, yeah, not so worth it. Not so worth it. I doubt Chris was scrutinizing the line quite that much. There are a lot of good lines that could absolutely be ruined by our close examination. You know, you just take them as they come and you don't rob them of their glory. Up, down, ebb, flow, plus, minus, on, off, good, bad, happy, sad, on it goes. Life is made up of these things, these contrasting experiences, these contrasting emotions, these contrasting feelings. Life is not a highlight reel or a brilliant Instagram moment. Life is a lot of defeat, a lot of angst, a lot of wrestling with what to do. The going up is fueled because we are tired of being down. Coming down is the price paid for climbing up. And we all know that going up won't result in a permanent condition. And yet still presumably we give it all we've got because the time that is spent there at the height, worth it. And like all forms of entropy, coming down, well, that can be a permanent condition. Going up, no, not so much. It requires a lot of effort. No effort is required to come down. I mean, there's always new lows to achieve, I guess. But defeat, suffering, those absolutely can be a lifelong obsession if we allow it, if we don't fight back. When people that we love, when they lose their way, whether it's due to physical sickness, mental illness, addiction, any other kind of malady that can ruin us, we often make a wishful declaration about their need to hit rock bottom, you know, and we'll say, I hope they hit rock bottom and they realize what they need to change before it's too late. We've all said that about various people in our lives. Rock bottom is that proverbial place that can help us see more clearly. And it's only proverbial in the sense that, well, we have a hard time quantifying it, but we know it when we see it. It's a real place with an improper description, because rock bottom implies that it's as low as a person can go. But mostly we realize, no, there's always a new lower level to which one can sink, because ruin and despair do not have a bottom. But elation and success and whatever else you would ascribe to the height, the mountaintop, they don't have a limit either. How high is high enough? Nobody knows. And the reason nobody knows is because nobody has ever arrived. The capacity for human improvement is never fully realized. I don't care. Measure it any way you choose to measure it, including money. Okay, that's fine. Point to the richest people on the planet. One person's on the list. They're top. You think they're interested in staying there? Yeah, probably. How bad, how jealous, how envious do you suppose number two and number three feel? I can promise you people are hacked when that list comes out and they've lost a position or two from the previous year. Our capacity for improvement is never fully realized. I mean, what a flimsy way to measure it, though. Your current state may best my current state, but that doesn't offer any insight on what either of us is capable of. I mean, what's possible for you may be impossible for me. As I'm recording, the Greek Freak is up there with the Milwaukee Bucks just tearing it up. Well, I don't have that kind of athleticism. Even if I were 40 years younger, I don't have that athleticism. Now, he's a Greek Freak. He's awesome to watch, and I'm not an NBA guy. Yeah, but what's possible for him, impossible for me. But what's possible for me may be impossible for him. In the end, how you stack up to me, how I stack up to the Greek Freak or anybody else, it's of no consequence. Then why do we spend so much time examining the going up and the going down of other people? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the comparisons help us feel better about ourselves, or worse. And sometimes we enjoy feeling worse. Do you know people like, are you like that? Surely you're not like that. Come on, you're leaning toward wisdom. some people do. They do enjoy feeling badly about themselves. They enjoy the whole victim thing. The irony of ironies is that most of our comparisons are to people that we do not really know and people that we really don't even care about. That Instagram influencer, that book author, that keynote speaker, that CEO, that YouTube star. I don't care. Pick the people. The people on the list. What list? Any list. Pick the list. The top 1,000 influencers. The top 30 under 30. The top 40 under 40. The Fortune 100. The Fortune 500. The Fortune 1,000. Guruism. Hero worship. It's likely more envy than worship for many. We're down compared to their up. Well, there goes optimism. I mean, enter all these negative emotions of feeling like, well, I'm doing something wrong. I mean, the whole world is on some exotic vacation and I'm sitting here struggling to make a car payment every month. It's the reality that we see. It's completely fake, of course, but it's still the story that we tell ourselves. It's the story that culture helps us tell ourselves. The view that we think accurately depicts just how pathetic we truly are. Never mind that the whole soundtrack to life is still REM singing that anthem to the universe. Everybody hurts sometimes. And so we see the coming down. Shoot, maybe we even cheer it along when it happens. You know, that whole build them up so we can knock them down thing. We sure seem to enjoy that as a sport. We're not in the news, so there's that. Nobody's beat my door. The FBI has not come in and raided my home. Well, man alive, I'm better than they are. Thankful I'm not in their shoes. Never mind that these shoes I've got on, I still owe $87 on the credit card for these beggars. But those idiots, man, they could be headed to prison. And my life is not so bad after all. All the conflicting thoughts, all these conflicting ideas that we hold at the same time. It's fascinating, isn't it? It is to me. Envious of the rich and the famous, while simultaneously relieved that we're so much better than the rich and the infamous. Drawn to the interesting people while simultaneously yearning for some peaceful monotony where we can just be with the people that we love and we don't have to care about this other stuff. Hello, Ying. Meet Yang. It's the push-pull of our lives. It's the going up versus the coming down. The climbing up versus the falling down. Why must we fall down? Well, I can tell you why, because we're puzzled. We're puzzled by those who choose to climb down, the ones who walk away from what we perceive to be a grand life. Why in the world would they do that? Something must be wrong with them. You don't climb down when you're at the top. You wait until you're pushed, or you fall because you just couldn't maintain your footing at that altitude any longer. Again, it's the story we prefer, mostly because we may not feel we're ever going to experience that mountaintop moment. We're wrong. We're deluded. I have a question. What if this? Yeah, this right here. What if this is up? There's a phenomenon that I first understood it back in my 20s, namely that the water level of how we live is tough to change. I mean, it's really tough to change. We think when we earn a certain income, when we achieve a certain thing, okay, then I'm going to feel like I'm up. That's what success is certainly going to feel like. But when we arrive, you know, this doesn't feel any different than that other altitude that we previously occupied within mere months. In fact, I think the folks who claim to know tell us that within 90 days or so, our lives are pretty much just as they were before. Warts and all. Increase a person's income by a significant amount of money, and within 90 days, the odds are they're pretty much living the way they lived before. Even lottery winners who gain vast sums learn the hard way that life largely goes unchanged, well, except for new toys and new heartaches. Just today, I saw that a 24-year-old young man, Manuel Franco in Wisconsin, he won the Wisconsin Powerball lottery. The article said Franco is taking the $477 million lump sum payment from Wisconsin Lottery. He told reporters he does not plan to play Powerball again. Well, why should he? I'm sorry, Mr. Franco, but the odds are that your life will be forever changed. And the odds are that your life will not be forever changed for the better. Well, we'll see. He's got a whole lot more to fret about. He's got a whole lot more to worry about now. And like him, we only imagine he bought some lottery tickets, and among the bunch that he bought, on the day that he bought the winning ticket, he bought $10 worth of individual tickets. He was quite thrilled when, I guess, he looked at them some days after the numbers were revealed, and like his third ticket, he won $4, and he was getting excited about that until he realized he had another ticket that was worth like 700 and some odd million dollars. And like him, when he bought the ticket, and like you right now, and even me talking about this, we're sitting here thinking, $477 million lump sum payment. Can you imagine the upside of that? Wouldn't that be great? That's what we think. And parts of it very well might be great, but it makes me wonder if the going up is worth the coming down. Fact is, it isn't. Not always. I've been married to the same woman for over 41 years. It's been intentional. Yeah, I love her. She's likely tired of me, but I still love her. I know people who cannot imagine a life like that. Boring, unexciting. The other day I was talking with somebody about my hope to see at least the beginning of a shift, a cultural shift. Now, this isn't going to happen, but a shift away from pundits and gurus and influencers, a shift away from so many feeling the need to brag about themselves and how special they are compared to the rest of us mere mortals, a shift away from the pompous arrogance that permeates probably every culture on the planet. What would I love to see in its place? A shift to focus on the collective, a shift toward the realization that as we approach 7.8 billion people on the planet, every life matters. A shift toward the realization that every single exceptional life is not restricted to some person that we think has lived an interesting life because of some extraordinary circumstances or some extraordinary accomplishments, but rather a shift toward focusing on the collective power that fuels every individual life on the planet. A week or so ago, Tiger Woods, he wins the Masters, and it was a great moment, and it was riveting television, even for those of us who are non-golfers like myself. I was watching, and when it concluded, and he won, and he sunk that last putt, and he walked up to his caddy, and he said, "We did it," I found it a pretty inspiring moment. Yes, he's an individual performer, but just, I don't know, I was quite impressed that a guy with all this baggage and all this stuff, and you talk about the going up and the coming down, a focus on the we rather than I. I'm optimistic, but I'm realistic. It won't likely happen. It's a nice thought, though. And I bring it up because of this going up and coming down roller coaster that depicts all of our lives. Some can view my marriage as mundane, boring, uneventful. Never mind that I'm kind of drawn to mundane and boring, uneventful. A man who's been married 3 times may well have more stories to tell, and perhaps more interesting stories to tell. Well, which of us is up? Which of us is down? One man's ceiling is another man's floor. Christofferson got it right. The going up was worth the coming down. It's called living, and we're all doing it. Yeah, some better than others, some wiser than others. Some doing it as well as they can. Others don't seem to be trying very hard at all to do it so well. My conclusion isn't so profound, really. Can we be better human beings? Can we be better human beings? Can we provide value to others? Can we serve our family and our friends? Or do we provide problems for others? Do we provide pain and suffering? Are we trying to serve others, or are we too busy serving ourselves and then lamenting why others aren't serving us better? Optimism, pessimism, doing our best to lean toward wisdom, doing our best to lean into whatever impulses fuel our desires. Never mind about you, it's about me. You got to serve somebody. It seems to me that the going up is worth the coming down if we get that part right. You got to serve somebody. Who you going to serve? If we get it wrong, it's not likely going to matter. our life is just going to be one downward spiral of selfishness. And you know, it's not the fall that kills you. It's the landing. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Let me invite you to join the Facebook group. Just go to the website, click on that Facebook icon. I'll let you right in. It's a little private group. I don't know. There's 120 of us or so. There's not a bunch of people in there. But we're all working hard, trying to lean toward wisdom. That's it. Till next time, greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.